की। इस्कॉन बिबडी फाउंडर आचार्यपाद की जय निथाय गौर प्रेमानंदी सामवेद भक्तवृंद की सामवेद भक्तवृंद की सामवेद भक्तवृंद की जय श्री श्री गुरु और गौरांग की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय उदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवतीरुत्तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैस्तिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो हरे कृष्णा, दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 22 एंटाइटल्ड द ऑर्बिट्स ऑफ द प्लैनेट्स। सो विल बी टेकिंग द लास्ट फ्यू वर्सेस फ्रॉम वर्स 9 अंटिल 17 दैट एंड्स दिस चैप्टर। अथ चाप्युर्यमाण श्री काल भीरमणाम क्षियामाणस्य अथ चापुर्यमाणस्य कालभीरमणाम क्षियमाणस्य कालभी। सो दिस इज अ प्रोज, सो आई जस्ट गो थ्रू द ट्रांसलेशन। सो देयर इज अ ओनली पर्पट इन द लास्ट, दैट इज फॉर द 17th वर्स। सो आई विल गो थ्रू ऑल द ट्रांसलेशंस फर्स्ट। सो बेसिकली हियर व्हाट वी सी टुडे, द थीम इज about the seven planetary system, upper planetary system, what effect they have on the earthly planet. So that is what is being explained here. So when the moon is waxing, the illuminating portion of it increases daily, thus creating day for the demigods and night for the pitas. When the moon is waning, however, it causes night for the demigods and day for the pitas. In this way, the moon passes through each constellation of stars in 30 moors, an entire day. The moon is the source of nectarian coolness that influences the growth of food grains, and therefore the moon god is considered the life of all living entities. He is consequently called Jiva, the chief living being within the universe. Next. Verse number 10. Because the moon is full of all potentialities, it represents the influence of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon is predominating deity of everyone's mind, and therefore moon god is called Manomaya. He is also called Annamaya because he gives potency to all herbs and plants, and he is also called Amritamaya because he gives the source of life to all living entities. The moon pleases the demigods, pitas, human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, trees, plants, and all other living entities. Everyone is satisfied by the presence of moon. Therefore, the moon is also called Sarvamaya, all pervading. Text 11. There are many stars located about 2 million yojanas, namely 16 lakh miles above the moon, by the supreme will of the personality of Godhead. They are fixed to the wheel of time, and thus they rotate with Mount Sumeru on their right. Their motion being different from that of the sun, they are 28 important stars headed by Abhijit. Text 12. Some 16 million miles above this group of stars is the planet Venus, which moves almost exactly the same pace as the Sun according to swift, slow, moderate movements. Sometimes Venus moves behind the Sun, sometimes in front of the Sun, and sometimes along with it. Venus nullifies the influence of planets that are obstacles to rainfall. Consequently, its presence causes rainfall, and it is therefore considered very favorable to all living beings within this universe. This has been accepted by the learned scholars. Further, Mercury is described to be similar to Venus, in that it moves sometimes behind the Sun, sometimes in front of the Sun, and sometimes along with it. It has 16 million miles above Venus, or at 72 lakh miles above the Earth. Mercury, which is the sun of the moon, is almost always very auspicious for the inhabitants of the universe. But when it does not move along with the sun, it forbids cyclone, dust, irregular rainfall, and waterless clouds. In this way, it creates fearful condition due to inadequate or excessive rainfall. Text 14. Situated 16 million miles above Mercury, or equivalent to 88 lakh miles above Earth, is planet Mars. If this planet does not travel in the crooked way, it crosses through each sign of the zodiac in 3 fortnights, and in this way travels through all 12. One after another, it almost always creates unfavorable conditions in respect to rainfall and other influences. Text 15. Situated 16,000 miles above Mars, or 10,04,000 miles above Earth, is the planet Jupiter, which travels through one sign of zodiac within a period of parivastara. If this moment is not curved, the planet Jupiter is very favorable to the brahmanas of the universe. Text 16. Situated above 16,000 miles above Jupiter, or equivalent to 12 lakh miles above Earth, is the planet Saturn, which passes through one sign of the zodiac in 30 months and covers the entire zodiac circle in 30 anvastaras. This planet is always very inauspicious for the universal situation. And text 17. Situated 88,000 miles above the Saturn, or 2,08,000 miles above Earth, are the several saintly sages who are always thinking of the well-being of the inhabitants of the universe. They circumambulate the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, known as Dhruva Loka, the pole star, Parpat. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the following verse from Brahmand Purana. Jnanadhimananto Vishnu Sushumara Vapasya Atha Urdhva Lokeshu Sa Vyaptavya Adityavyastad Ashrita. Lord Vishnu, who is source of knowledge and transcendental bliss, has assumed the form of Sumastara in the seventh heaven, which is situated in the topmost level of the universe. All other planets beginning with the sun exist under the shelter of this Shishumar planetary system. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the fifth canto, chapter 22nd, of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Orbit of the Planets. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mlitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Sadhi Gaur Bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Hare Krishna. So what we see here, so with due regard from Prabhuji, so I'll try to speak. So what we see here, this chapter is very small. There are only 17 verses, and I am covering from 9 to 17. So here what we see, only outward, a small picture is given, not complete in detail, what is happening in each planet, the life there, what kind of human beings, demigods living there. So nothing is much explained. So here what we see, outward picture is given. And how all these planets, how they influence, especially the human beings on the material planet. So that what is mentioned here. And in the Bhagavad Gita, what we see in the third chapter, 3.10, Krishna explains that in the beginning of creation, he created demigods and all the human beings. Krishna explains that he told, okay, you do your activities for the human beings. The Lord told you do the yajna and please the demigods, and by the demigods you will get sufficient grains and rain, and that way all of you will be happy, and this way you can cross over this material world. This is what Bhagavad Gita 3.10 explains. So here in all this about 9 verses, the influence of the 7 planets, it is being mentioned. And today we will try to focus on the moon, because mostly repetitions about the moon. Now what we see in the solar system, each universe has 14 planet system. And across the sun is going from south to north. The sun has its own axis. And around the sun, all these 14 planet system, they are revolving. And each planet has its own cycle of rotation each day and around the sun. In this way, just I'll give you an outline about how these 7 planets, the Mercury, so it takes 59 days to take one circle. So our Earth, it takes like 24 hours. So the planet Mercury takes 59 days and it takes one revolution around the sun in 86 days. That then Venus, it takes 243 days to just take one axis of itself. Then it goes around the sun in 255 days. Then Earth, Mother Earth, on its own axis, it revolves in 24 hours. Then it takes 365 days to go around the sun in one axis. Then after that, Mars, it also takes 24 hours. But it takes 667 days to go around the sun. Then Jupiter, it revolves around itself in 10 hours and it takes 11 years, 9 months. Then after that, Saturn, 11 hours on its own axis and 29.5 years. Then after that, Uranus, it goes around its own axis in 17 hours and it takes 84 years to take one round of the sun. Then we come to Neptune. So it takes 16 hours on its own axis and 165 years, solar years. So we can't imagine how this is happening in the material world. But we should know that material world, we have made such a progress. Nowadays we have express highways, 3 lanes, 4 lanes. Still every day there are so many accidents taking place. But if we see the creation of the Lord, so many planets, they are going in their own axis, but there is never any accident of that sort. So we should know, so in the creation of the Lord, everything is complete and perfect. In the Isha Upanishad, so there are 108 Upanishad. Isha Upanishad means it explains about the Supreme Lord, all his energies, how the Supreme Lord controls all the universes. So Isha Upanishad, the invocation mantra, all of you must be familiar. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Avashishyate. The personality of God is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So here we should understand, so what the Lord has made in the creation is perfect. Completely there is a balance. Now we see, now the summer season is going on. There is bound to come after this rainy season. There are six seasons. So this way, the earth is rotating at the speed of 180,000 miles per second on its own axis. And this way, in 365 days, we get six seasons changing. And it is not happening automatically. There is someone behind. And what Prabhupada explains, the Krishna's creation is so perfect that Krishna has created one male and female. Krishna need not to come and interfere. So the male and female, they can carry on this material world in all species of life. So what Prabhupada gives one good analogy, if you marry two cars, one male and one female, and if you tell them, okay, you go for a honeymoon, they can't create a baby car, isn't it? Can that happen like that? No. One father, one mother car, they can't produce a baby car. That can't happen in the material world. That cannot happen. So we should know that whatever is being created by the Lord is perfect. So also in the Shvetashtara Upanishad, it mentions all the energies of the Lord. A very nice verse explains, Parasha Shaktir Vividaya Shuryate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. That means, in the material world, all the energies of the Lord, they are conscious and they act according to the whole soul will of the Lord. If you see in Krishna Leela, there are so many energies of the Lord, they are acting. Like Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives the example when Yashoda Sri was trying to bind Krishna at the Ukhal. So that time what was happening? All the time the rope was getting 2 inches small every time. So now Yashoda and all the gopis, they were watching, and some gopis, they told, you can't bind this boy, he's very naughty. But Yashoda, she said, no, let it get night, still I'm going to bind this guy this day. So then Krishna, he told the energies, come on, get lost, let her bind me. So that way what happened, when the energies, they left the rope, then Yashoda could tie. So similarly, when Krishna, he went to lift Govardhan, so that time already it was hailstorm. You saw a few days back, about a month back, what happened in Vrindavan. So big snow, and like a big fish size, they were falling. So when the Indra's rain and the hailstorm was coming, so one energy of Krishna, it was going above the head of Krishna, and it was protecting all the Brajavasis all the way to Govardhan. So not even a cow or no one was affected. And this way Krishna, he lifted the Govardhan. And this Leela is very big. What we see, there Krishna, he told Sudarshan, okay, you come up Govardhan and you drink the water. And he told Anushesh, okay, you make a boundary around Govardhan and you don't let the water come in. So this way what we see, so there are innumerable energies of the Lord. They are acting, Krishna need not to tell them. They are always ready. Like in material world, we have so many big people. They have their own companies, they have watchmen, cooks, many other people. They need not to tell, okay, clean the table, get my food. That work is done automatically because they know what is their job. So similarly, the energies of the Lord, they are acting automatically. Krishna need not to tell them. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, he gives a very nice understanding by one analogy. He explains, Apara Aishwarya Krishnera Nahika Ganana Sakha Chandra Nyaya Kari Digdarshan. So he explains that no one can estimate the opulence of Krishna, so that is unlimited. However, one just sees through the moon the branches of a tree. So what he explains here, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, so directly we can't see the moon. For the children, if you want to show the moon, not so easy. So the scripture explains, Chandra Shakya Naya. That means you have to get the child underneath a tree and you show him, yes, you can see through the branches, there is the moon. Also in Gokul, there is one pastime about Krishna. So when Krishna was a small baby, about 2 years old. So one time he saw there is a moon in the sky, and he told Yashoda, "I want that moon right away," and he started crying. So Yashoda told, "How can I get the moon from the sky? Impossible." So that time Lord Shiva was around, and what Lord Shiva, he told Yashoda, "Okay, get water and a big tray," and he told her to pour the water in the tray. And when the water was there in the tray, so the moon reflection came in the water tray. And Shiva, he told baby Krishna, "Okay, you now you jump in the tray and you catch the moon." So what we see here, whatever the energies, how they are acting, so it is not so easy to understand. So now today, because we are speaking on the moon, the influence of the moon, so first we will speak about the moon, birth of moon planet. So as we know, there are different stories in Bhagavatam. So here the moon is glorified, what we see the verse number 10. So the moon is glorified because the moon is full of potencies. It represents the influence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon is the predominating deity of everyone's mind. So this is another big topic. Therefore the moon god is called Manomaya. He is also called Annamaya, because he gives potency to herbs and plants, that will come later on. He is also called Amritamaya because he is the source of for all living entities. The moon pleases the demigods because human beings, animals, birds, reptiles, trees, plants and all other living entities. So everyone is satisfied by the presence of the moon. Jai Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Krishna Balaram, Radha Shyam Sundar Ki. So that's why the moon is called Sarvamaya. Sarvamaya means all pervading. So now the first story goes like this. So according to Vedic description, Soma the moon god was born from the mind of Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is called Chandrama Manasa Jata. That means the moon god was created by the mind, by just thinking of the Lord. Like in Vrindavan, there is Manasi Ganga at Govardhan. Just Krishna remembered Ganges and she manifested. So here also the moon was just created by the will of the Lord. Then second, in Bhagavad Gita 10.21, Krishna explains, Adityanam Aham Vishnur Jyotisam Ravir Amshuman Marichir Man Maurtam Asmi Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. So now moon is also considered one star, and among the star the moon is prominent. Krishna explains, of the Adityas I am Vishnu, of the lights I am the radiant sun, of the Maruts I am the Marichi, and among the stars I am the moon. So Prabhupada explains that among the star the moon is most prominent at night, and thus the moon represents Krishna. Prabhupada explains that it appears that moon all the stars, they twinkle because of the light of the moon. And this way it is mentioned that the moon god here, he twinkles, and because of him the other stars, they reflect in the sky. Then in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, first chapter, there is a pastime where it is mentioned that Anusuya, the wife of Atri Muni, gave birth to three very famous sons. There are three sons of Anusuya and Atri Muni. They are Soma, Dattatreya and Durvasa, who were partial representations of Vishnu, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Soma is partial representation of Brahma. So this way what we see, this is another story how he was born. Then Sukhdev Goswami, he explains to Parikshit Maharaj, this is in the ninth canto in the dynasty of Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha. So Parikshit Maharaj, he is being told by Sukhdev Goswami, he explains that thus far you have heard the description of Surya Vamsha, the sun god dynasty, and now I will explain to you the glories of the moon dynasty. So he explains that the kings of Ayala, Pururava, of whom it is glorious to hear, Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is also known as Sahasra Shirsha Purusha. From the lake of his navel sprang a lotus, and from that Brahma was generated. and Atri the son of Brahma was qualified as his father. From Atri's tears of jubilation was born the son named Soma, the moon who was full of soothing rays. The Lord Brahma appointed him as the director of Brahmana's drugs. Drugs means not our medical drugs, all the herbs. And then luminaries. Luminary means all the stars. This is the third description about the birth of this moon. So now we see this Lord, he descends in two dynasties. When Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, they descend, there are two dynasties. One is called Chandra Vamsha, the second is called Surya Vamsha. And what we see, Krishna, he took birth in the Yadu dynasty. And Yadu dynasty, it comes in the lineage of Chandra Vamsha. So also we see there are many Kshatriyas and many clans in the Chandra dynasty. And this way Krishna, what we see in Krishna's pastimes, and moon is very much connected. What we see when the day Lord Krishna was born, it is Ashtami. And our acharyas, they explain in the Bhagavatam 10th canto, since Lord Krishna appeared on the 8th day of the waning moon, there could be no rising of full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty in which the hierarchy moon is there. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty wherein the moon himself is the original person, the moon was in a overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as full moon to welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The waning moon became full in complete jubilation. That this is what is explained in the 10th canto. And also we see there is a, whenever Lord Krishna was performing his Ras Lila, so that time also Krishna, the moon was to be full moon. There are different descriptions of Lord Krishna's Ras Lila pastimes. And what we see, the moon used to give the complete cooling and complete light for the Lord Krishna's pastime. And what we see in this material world, there are two kinds of calendars. One is solar and one is lunar. So there are different versions of lunar calendars throughout the world. Even the Arabians, Chinese, the South Americans, Africans, they are also using this lunar calendar. So they have different calculations. So we will not go in depth. So we should know that moon is, sometimes is full moon, sometimes is black moon, Amavasya and Purnima. So how this is happening, the scientists, they may give a different view about the moon going at an 11 degree angle and all. But there is a story, again in brief, in the Bhagavatam 4th canto, there is a story. Parikshit Maharaj, he is being told by Sukadeva Goswami, that he explains, the constitution names Kritika were all the wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha has cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. Therefore, the king of moon pacified Prajapati Daksha with courteous words, thus regained the position of light he had lost during the disease. Nevertheless, he could not beget children. The moon loses his shining power during dark fortnight, and in the bright fortnight it manifests again. So what we see, this moon, there is a waning moon, there is a waxing moon, and in the Sanskrit calendar it is called, there are two paksha, two sides. One is called Krishna paksha and the other paksha is called, anyone knows? Shukla paksha. One is waning, one is waxing. So in the Bhagavad Gita, again Krishna explains 15.13, how he gives the moon, what he gives. So Gama Vishasi Bhutani Dharamya Aham Ojasa Purna Aushadi Chausha Sarva Soma Bhuta Rasatmanaka. Krishna explains that I enter each planet and by my mercy I stay in orbit, they stay in orbit. And I become the moon and thereby supply juice of life to all the vegetables. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, it is due to because the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the moon nourishes all the vegetables. Due to the moon's influence, the vegetables become delicious. Without the moonshine, the vegetables can't either grow nor taste succulent. Human society is working, living comfortably and enjoying food due to the supply from the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, mankind could not survive. The word rasatmakaha is very significant. Everything becomes palatable by the agency of the Supreme Lord through the influence of moon. So this is a very big topic about the moon. How the moon is putting rasa, different taste. So there are six kinds of taste when it comes to eating food. So there are different kinds of taste, and all they come from the earth through all the herbs and different fruits. And what we see, the moon, the light of the moon, so that is giving the complete energy into that fruit. So the moon and the sun is giving the sunlight, and the moon is giving the taste in that food. So now if you go in some place where there is no sunshine, nothing can grow. If you go to North Pole, South Pole, it is all ice there. So there are no seasons much there. So what we see when there is no presence of sun and moon, so what happens? The vegetations can't grow. And also in today's world, they are growing so many things, artificial things in their own laboratories. Like in some countries, they are growing in their farmhouse where there is no moonlight. They are growing nice fruits and nice vegetables also, but those fruits, they don't have fragrance. You will see so many roses, so many flowers. We decorate the temple during festivals. These flowers, they don't have smell, no fragrance. So they look very beautiful, but there is no fragrance. There is no rasa. So because they are grown in the closed environment, they don't get the sunlight. Similarly, if you go to in India now also, you see so many fruits, flowers, vegetables, they have smell and taste. If you go to Western many countries, you will get very nice fruits, but there is no taste, there is no flavor. If you see the Chinese rose, they look very beautiful, but unfortunately, there is no fragrance, it is all artificial. So this way, what happens, in the scripture it is mentioned, like recently there was Akshaya Tritiya. So it is mentioned that during the Akshaya Tritiya day, on that day, what happens? The sun god and the moon god, they give complete energy to the mango. Mango is the king of all the fruits. And it is mentioned in the scripture, after Akshaya Tritiya, you can eat mango, not before that. And nowadays what you see in the market, all the 12 months you get mango. And whatever fruits you are getting before Akshaya Tritiya, all these mangoes, they are all chemically ripened. So we, one side we are giving money and we are taking disease. This is our foolishness. So what we should know, if you want to live a good health and healthy lifestyle, so we should take according to the season. According to the season, there is a one thing called Ritu Bhuka. There are three kinds of eating. One is called Mita Bhuka. Among the 26 qualities, Vaishnava quality, one quality is called Mita Bhuka, means Vaishnava takes only moderate food. Then the second is called Hita Bhuka. Hita Bhuka means eat what is good for the belly, not for the tongue. That's called Hita Bhuka. Then third is called Ritu Bhuka. Ritu means according to the season. Now if in today's world, if we want to eat 12 months cauliflower and beans and tomatoes, then we are bound to get diseases. So we should know that according to the Ritu, the sun and the moon, they are giving the energy and the taste in all these fruits, any kind of fruits. So this way it is mentioned that all the animals, reptiles, trees, birds, they become happy by the presence of the moon. So this is very important. So as I was telling about the cycle of the sun and the moon, so it is another big topic, just I'll explain in brief. So the cycle of the sun, what we see, in 27 days, 3 hours and 22 minutes, the moon goes around the earth in one cycle. So it takes 27 days, 3 hours, 22 minutes for the moon to go around the earth. So this is one cycle of the moon. So during this period of time, there are two paksha. It is called Krishna paksha and Shukla paksha. So as I told you, paksha means in India there are so many parties. Janta paksha or some many parties are there. So paksha means the part. So here it is mentioned that it refers to a fortnight of lunar phase in the month of Vedic calendar. Literally means a side, either side of the full moon, or it is called Purnima. The other side of the moon, the black moon, it is called Amavasya. So in this way, the moon, it circulates around the earth at 12 degree angle motion. And this way it completes one cycle around the earth. So this way, as per the Vedic calendar, what we see, these fortnights, Krishna Paksha is considered inauspicious and Shukla Paksha is considered auspicious. And all the tithis, all the festivals, what we see according to our Vaishnava calendars, most of the festivals, they come during the Shukla Paksha. Now, Krishna means we should not take Krishna. Krishna means black in Vedic language. So we should not understand that Krishna means inauspicious. So here Krishna means black, the black side of the moon. So here it is very, it is explained that how during the one part and the other part, how the things they take place. And if you go according to the Vaishnava calendar, so we have these 15 days waning and waxing of the moon. So we call Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha. So now during these 15 days, like in Western terminology, very few people know what these 15 days are. But in India, those people who refer to Vedic calendar, so they know, like anyone knows today is Dwadasi. Okay, I'll begin with day one. So day one is called Prathama, then Dvitiya, Tritiya, Chaturthi, Panchami, Shasti, Saptami, Ashtami, Navami, Dashami, Ekadasi, then Dwadasi, tomorrow will be Trayodasi. Then after that there is a Chaturdasi, then there is a Purnima. So one time is Purnima during the Shukla Paksha, and during Krishna Paksha what it will be? Amavasya. So we should be familiar with this Vedic calendar. And also there is a mention of 12 constellation signs, because our mind is affected by the moon, and we should know each living entity, especially human beings. When we are born, our birth chart is made. And according to the Vedic understanding, so we have 27 different stars which are controlling all our destiny. So if a birth chart is made according to our birth, so now there are 12 months in a year, so we'll not go much in detail about that. So according to our month of birth, what is our Rashi? It is called Rashi. There are 12 Rashis. I'll just briefly mention. One is called Mesha. It is a Aries. Then Rishabha means Taurus. Mithuna means Gemini. Then Karka means Cancer. Shrishta means Leo. Kanya means Vigro. Tula means Libra. Rishika means Scorpio. Dhanu means Sagittarius. Makara means Capricorn. Kumbha means Aquarius. Meena means Pisces. So these are the 12 these things, Rashis, it is mentioned in the one verse. So these are, they are controlling our birth and our destiny. Now here what we see, the moon is rotating on its own axis around the earth in 27 days, 3 hours, 22 minutes. So now as per the Vedic understanding, the time is different. And in today's terminology, what we see, time is different. So the time is basically divided into 6 parts, from microsecond to 1 year. So here in the Vedic mode, how it is mentioned, Vedic time. So it is called one truti. One truti means 0.30474 seconds. It is a very subtle topic, not so easy to understand. Then there is a Veda, Lava, Nimisha, Kshana. Then Laghu, Ghanta, Muhurta. Muhurta means 48 minutes. We should know this is a Muhurta means 48 minutes. Then there is a Prahara. One Prahara means 3 hours. 8 Prahara is equal to 24 hours. Now Krishna's pastime, what we see, the Golok pastimes, they are called Ashtakaliya Leela. Krishna's Leelas, they are called Ashtakaliya Leela. There are 8 prahars. Ashtakaliya means 8 petals. So every 3 hours Krishna is doing different pastime. So this is called, there are then 2 parts of the day, 1 part is night. That is called Paksha, day and night. And this way every 15 days this is one Paksha. Then what we see in today's terminology, in modern understanding, so especially the Vedic cosmology and Vedic astronomy, we can't understand. Because here what we see, Sukadeva Goswami has explained, only in 17 verses, just outlined. When you take a children to any zoo and all, so we tell them this is what is animal, elephant, lion, but we don't tell all the bodily parts, they are carnivorous, herbivores, and that is a different thing. So because our understanding is not so high in understanding, because we are living in a lower planet system, we can't understand how the people are living in the other planet system, higher planet system. So here Sukadeva Goswami has just given a small understanding. There is one story. One time there was one horse castle, and all the horses, they had an istavosti and they were laughing. So what happened? Nearby there was a donkey's castle. The donkeys, they were nearby and they were mesmerized. So they were thinking what these horses, what they were speaking about. So one donkey they sent as a representative, just go and ask what is happening, why they are laughing. Sometimes we want to know if somebody is laughing. So when a donkey came to the horses, the donkeys, they told, we are horses and you donkey, how you can understand our language? So we are on a higher principle, okay? So you get lost. So the donkey went back, and after a few days the donkeys were laughing. So the horses, they were curious to know what happened, why the donkeys, they are laughing. So one horse came to ask, yes, what happened, why you chaps, you are laughing? So the donkeys, they told, that day what you were discussing, we came to know today. After few days we could understand. So this is what is the modern scientific understanding. So they can't understand what Prabhupada explains. Today's scientist brain, Prabhupada used to tell this Mr. Frog or Dr. Frog. If a frog is there in a well and another frog tells there is a big Pacific Ocean, and this frog will ask this big, this big, this big, and he will explode. So in today's terminology, what we see, although we see that our scientists, they have done a big, big miracle in so many things, scientifically seeing, they can tell exactly how much the plane will take time from India to launch in land in New York. Exact same time they will arrive there. So sometimes we get mesmerized by modern inventions, how this telephone is working, all these are all subtle science. But we should know that our understanding is not so easy, because we are not on that level, we are not on a higher level. So for that we should understand that because of our lesser understanding, a smaller description is given. Like if I go and tell there is a Jambu Dweep and there are trees, they are very tall, yojanas, 10 yojanas and 80 miles. So everyone will laugh at you. And there are some dweep, there are big trees and there are mangoes, they are size of a one planet. And when the mango falls, there is a mango juice flowing. And if I tell there are oceans of milk, sugar, so this is what they say, mythology. Because seeing is believing. For today's modern science, seeing is believing, and what they want to do, they want to learn anything immediately. And after learning, they will give their own purport. Yes, this is what is. So what we see, Bhugola, this earth is called Gola, Bhugola. This is mentioned in the scripture long time back, 5000 years back. And what we see today, even the embryology, and all of you know what is embryology means, a child. When it takes birth in the womb of the mother, in the 9 months, how the child, it is explained by in the 4th canto, Kapil Dev to his mother. So this embryology science was not known 50 years back. And about 500 years back, they were thinking the earth is flat. If we go on the western side, we'll fall down. But in the scripture, it is mentioned Bhugola. Bhugola means this earth is round. Like another one story, like one time, all of you know, in the army, one time the soldiers, they are taught geography. So the geography teacher, he came and he was telling them, "Ye duniya gol hai." This earth is round. But one soldier, he was arguing, if earth is round, then I have to go round. But I never go round, I go straight line. How can be the earth round? So now the teacher, he was somewhat taken back. So he was thinking how to make this guy understand. So this fellow was arguing and he was giving his own arguments. So the next day again he argued with the teacher, "Ye duniya gol nahi hai." So what the teacher said, "This is being told by your boss." So this is being told by your boss. Then when he told, okay, if it is told, it is from the higher authorities, then I agree. So in the defense, what we see, when a person joins the defense, they are given a very rough training. They are made, you know, just surrender. Just say, "Yes, sir." The boss is always correct. So also in the Vedic scripture, what we see, what we are taught from our childhood, all the scriptures, everything, in the olden time, the people used to understand. But today, what we see, for everything, we have to give logic. For everything, we want logic and proper understanding, mathematical calculation. So that can't happen. What today, what we are seeing in the material, gross material world. So what we are trying to understand with our blind senses. Like Prabhupada explains, one time, six blind men, they went to see an elephant. And now you can imagine, blind men, how can they understand elephant? So when one person, he caught the feet, he said, "The elephant is like a trunk." So one fellow, he across the belly of the elephant, so he was putting his hand, he said, "The elephant is like a wall." So somebody caught the trunk and he said, "Elephant is like a pipe." So one fellow, he caught the tail and he said, no, elephant is a broom, jhadu. So somebody caught his tusk, he said, "No, it is like a nail." This way somebody caught his ear. So they were giving their own tarko pratishtha shutayo bhinnam. So this was happening. So they couldn't come to the right conclusion. So we should understand this topic, not so easy to understand, that in material world, so many things are happening. What we see, the scientists, they can give us the right understanding. It is wrong. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he writes in his TKG diary. So one time Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was asking Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, how we can understand this Vedic cosmology, and so many things are happening in the material world and our scientists, they are giving the right predictions, so compared to what is given in the scripture?" So what Prabhupada said, that you should have complete faith in the spiritual master. That is the only qualification. So you can't argue right and forth. And we see, during the 70s, when the moon excursion was going on, many of Prabhupada's disciples, they were uncertain what Prabhupada is telling is true or wrong. So they were carried away. Many even left the society. What they were telling Prabhupada, "See, we are seeing there is a moon, this lunar capsule, it is landing on the moon. And now what we see, 90% of Americans, they know that they didn't go to the moon. And those who went to the moon, they even died also. In 1970s, they said, we will take you to the moon for honeymoon, for your so many other things. People bought, gave money, booked their ticket. So now what they are telling, we are going to Mars, Jupiter. It is like a post-dated check. What is happening in the material world? So we can't have complete faith in what they are giving. So we should know that what the scriptures, they explain, Guru Sadhu Shastra, that is the right understanding. So we should have complete faith what is given in the scripture. Although the outline is given, so that is as per our understanding. Like a small child who is learning ABCD, you can't teach him calculus, trigonometry. because that is his understanding. So similarly, our human beings, our understanding, according to that, Sukadeva Goswami has given. So we should not deviate beyond that. So we'll give a break to the class here. So anyone has a quick question or comment? Krishna explains Bhagavad Gita, Jnana Vijnana Saitam Yajyatva Mokshashe Asubhat. So Bhagavad Gita is Jnana Vijnana, the higher science, realized knowledge. So now it, like that's why Prabhupada has said, unless we follow the regulative principle of devotional service, we can't come to that level of understanding. So we should know that just to get rid of a disease, we have to follow certain regulative principles. So similarly, when it comes to devotional service, so this can be understood only when we follow the regulative principles and what is mentioned in the scripture. So with the passing of time, we can understand what is mentioned is truth. So thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.